Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. For in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. This is the word of the Lord.
Wonderful. Good morning. My name is Chris. What's your name? That's quite an unusual name, I must admit. Can we do that again? My name is Chris. What's your name?
Jonathan.
All right, I think I've got everyone's names there. Have you noticed, by the way, when you have a visiting preacher, that they've got an opening gambit? And it usually goes something like this. Good morning. I don't know why they speak like that.
Good morning. It is so good to be with you this morning.
Have you noticed that's the opening?
It's so good to be with you this morning.
And I always sit there and go, yeah, you have to say that. Because you're not going to say it's really rubbish, are you? But, you know. But I'm standing here looking at you lot, and I'm thinking it's so good to be with you this morning. Really. I'm not just saying it because I have to, because I'm a visitor. It is so good. You are some of the most attractive people that I've met. Now, let me just clarify what I mean by that. Okay, you're beautiful, yeah? But the way that you are together, it attracts people to want to be with you. And I love that. There's a real kind of sense for you lot that it's come and see. Come and see. And this weekend for me has been about encouraging you to go and tell. And what an honour it is for me to be amongst you that are so good at the come and see. Come to what we've got on here. Beautiful building, whatever you're putting on. But here's a challenge. Will you go and tell? I want to speak about each one of us being a questioned Christian. Could you turn to the person next to you and say, questioned Christian? Is that okay? It's a bit of a tongue twister. But we're going to look at 1 Peter 3:15, perhaps the most famous evangelistic verse on being a questioned Christian. I was so grateful to hear that prayer that people asked questions yesterday. Why are you doing that? Why are you giving this away? Why are you listening? What on earth are you doing as church? It was so good to hear that people questioned what we were doing. There was a load of fruit given out yesterday, and I mean a load. It was amazing. The fruit order, I think, it was huge. I pictured three boxes. You picked, yeah. They were more like crates, really, weren't they? Three crates. But the ladies who went out to give out fruit that was labelled with the gift or the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, this is what we can get from God. Love, joy, peace, patience. And people got a visual example of what they can have from our Heavenly Father. It was so good to hear those questioned Christians out there. Before we look at the scripture, let me just tell you a little bit about me. I'm part of the Light Project. It's a charity that I set up about 15 years ago. There's a team of us who love to let others in on what we've got, to creatively show the good news of Jesus. Lots of different ways. We train people in theology and evangelism. It's an exciting job to have, to be an evangelist. I'm a Baptist minister, ordained as an evangelist. I'm part of a group who have said, why don't we seek God for 400 new pioneers over the next 5 years? We're looking for risk-taking Baptists sent to advance the kingdom beyond the fringe of the church in new and creative ways. 400 new pioneers going to where church isn't, doing what Jesus does and seeing what happens. I wonder whether there are some here this morning that say, well, that's me. I'm a pioneer. I want to do that. I'm excited about that. We've just launched this vision. You know, it just seems wrong that people around us still don't know what we know, doesn't it? Don't you think? Just think, that's not right. How come people don't know this most remarkable, wonderful, beautiful gift of Jesus? So I'm excited that more and more people are going to know what you and I know through this. Last year, John, who served as president a few years back, I served as president of the Baptist Union of Great Britain. It was a bit of a shock to most people, I must admit. I did turn up to a few events where I said, hi, and they said, hi, welcome. I said, my name's Chris, and they said, great, take a seat, Chris. The president of the Baptist Union will be turning up shortly. But my challenge for the year was to say to as many Baptist churches as possible, will you be big-hearted enough to share the good news of Jesus with those in your community? My favourite was the VIPs only red carpet. And we invited everyone to walk the red carpet. People gathered round. They were like, when are the VIPs turning up? What's going on? They're here. Walk the red carpet. I loved how children walked the red carpet because they walked it like this. And we clapped and we cheered. So they went round again. And they walked it like this. And we clapped and we cheered. So they went round again. And they walked it like this. And we clapped and we 12th time we're like, yeah, that's enough now. But people wanted to know, why would you consider me a VIP? Why am I a VIP? My prayer for us this morning and for you as church is that you will be active in sharing your faith. Active. Each one of us, active. Paul prays in that cheeky little verse in Philemon. By the way, if you want to be impressive, say, yeah, I read a book of the Bible this morning, Philemon. It's got a few verses in there. But verse 6, Paul prays that they may be active in sharing their faith so that they will have a full understanding of every good gift in Christ Jesus. And my prayer is that we'll be active, not passive, that each one of us will know the gifts that we've got to let those around us know, experience, touch the good news of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, that we would encounter his power amongst us. For the sake of those who haven't got a clue about Jesus in Penarth. Now let's be really honest. Unless we encounter God's power, his presence amongst us, what are we doing here? We desperately need him, don't we? We need more. We need more. There's still a world to be won for Jesus. We need his power. Many of us have come along this morning feeling rubbish. I've got nothing. What can I do? I know me. I know what goes on inside me. But I want to encourage you that through experiencing his power, come on, we've sung songs of praise, haven't we? We've got a beautiful promise that we're going to enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with... We're in his presence. He's here. I don't want to take that for granted, but the living God is here. And we can experience his power and be people who are transformed. People who can do something. So let's look at the scripture. It is, as I mentioned, by far the most famous bit of evangelistic scripture. You know, you ask any Christian, you know, well, what is it that, you know, to encourage you to do evangelism? 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared. I want to be honest with you, even though my job is as an evangelist, there are times when I just can't be bothered. I'm being honest, really honest with you. It was my son's birthday. We were staying in the northwest of Scotland, and we had to drive home. And it just seemed a little bit cruel to put him in the car for his 12th birthday and say, right, happy birthday, son. We got 13 hours of driving. In you get. So we decided that we would stop halfway, and we decided we'd stop in Dundee. Now, you might think that's even crueler. I don't know. Yeah. So we... Okay. Terribly sorry. It's a beautiful... As I was saying, we decided to stop in Glasgow. We found a beautiful hotel, swimming pool. Kids loved it. And I said to my son, son, what do you want for your birthday tea? He said, pizza. Could we find a pizza restaurant anywhere in Dundee or around Dundee? We went into one place. It was fully booked. We walked around. Now, I don't know if you've been with your family when you're hungry and you can't find anywhere to eat. The stress levels were getting higher and higher. And my two girls were saying, Dad, why didn't you book? I can't believe you didn't book anywhere. I'm so hungry. Oh, what's up, pizza? And then we saw Nando's. We thought, Nando's? That's not pizza. I said, no, my son, he wants pizza on his birthday. He's going to have pizza. And then my wife, Ruth, saw a small cafe. And we went in there and they said, yeah, we'll give you a table in half an hour. I said, great. So we went and sat up near Desperate Dan. Is it Desperate Dan? There's a bench up there and an old church. And we sat there and I said, you know what? There's a reason why we're here. Shall we ask Jesus why we're here? And so we just said, Lord Jesus, why are we here? And there were people campaigning by the church about the bedroom tax. And the kids wanted to talk about it. And they said, well, if I was David Cameron, I wouldn't do that. And we had some great conversation. And then my little Millie, who's 8, said, Dad, we need to go and pray for that guy over there. I said, oh, no, it's all right, Millie. We'll pray for him here. I said, I wasn't prepared to go and pray for this guy. Besides, he was busy. He had a blanket over him and he was asking people for money. But my little Millie said, no, Dad, we need to go and pray for him. Are you sure? I said to Millie. She said, yeah. So we gathered round this guy who was sitting begging, and we had 50p, and five of us, right? We said, excuse me, we've got 50p that we'd love to give you, but what we'd really love to do is to pray for you. And he said, great, and just closed his eyes, put out his hands, ready to be blessed. We prayed the most simple prayer over Wayne. I wasn't prepared to do that, but my 8-year-old girl was prepared to ask Jesus and do something. that really got me as a dad. I want to be honest with you. I was quite choked up as we walked to the restaurant. But what really got me was Millie's last bit of pizza. You see, it wasn't for me. I tried on a number of times. She said, no, that's not for you, Dad. That's for Wayne. I just long for that childlike preparedness. Every meal, every last bit of pizza, every coffee, every opportunity, every person to be prepared to give the reason for the hope that I have. The waitresses wrapped up the last bit of pizza, but Wayne wasn't there. But that didn't matter, because if it wasn't for Wayne, it was for someone else. And we met Claire, 22 years old, going to celebrate her birthday soon. She happened to be a vegetarian, and Millie's pizza was vegetarian, and she loved vegetarian pizza. And we blessed her in the name of Jesus. We need to be people who are prepared, not in any clever, oh yeah, I'll sort out this program, or I'll get involved with this activity or that project, but in all our lives, every single encounter, to be prepared, to let others know the hope that we have. I love this scripture, and it seems to me that there are three keys to being a questioned Christian. Surrender to Jesus, the way that we regard people, and thirdly, being filled with hope. So let's just have a look at surrender to Jesus. You see, the most famous bit of this verse, always be prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have, is part B, and part A is set apart Christ Jesus as Lord in your heart. Depending on what version of the Bible you read. But set apart in your core, in your heart, right in the center, the Lord Jesus. And then be prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have. You see, without the surrender to the Lord Jesus, this isn't going to happen. You see, many Christians do say to me, but I am prepared. Therefore, if I'm not sharing my faith, it's not my fault. No one's asking me, but they're not living the lives of surrender to the Lord. They've given some of their lives to Him, but not all. Who do you say that Jesus is? It's a question He asked His first friends. Who do you say I am? I wonder if we say, Lord Jesus, you are the little Jesus. Or do you say, you are the Christ? The Messiah, the one we've been waiting for, the Savior of the world, the one who's going to come back to judge the living and the dead. Listen, don't get me wrong. I love the Jesus who is the man. But I need to know the Jesus who is the one whose name is above all other names, the exalted one. I wonder if we believe the Jesus of John 1. Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, Revelation 1, the image of the invisible God, the Alpha and the Omega, the Word, the one whom Jesus put his, John put his head on Jesus' chest, we can read in John, but then when it comes to Revelation 1, lies at his feet as if he's dead because he sees the risen Christ. Is it small Jesus or big Christ that we have surrendered to? I love how Jesus relates to those on the margins. I want to be honest with you. I've made quite a bit of money sitting on the street with people who are homeless. There's been times when I've sat there that people have come up to me and said, here you go, son. Here's a little bit of money. Get yourself something to eat. Which is lovely. You know, that's very kind. One guy, he gave me a fiver. And he goes, here you go. He was a little bit drunk. He goes, here you go, son. Have a fiver. And I said, oh, thank you. He said, how long have you been on the streets? I said, oh, about 20 minutes. he wanted his fiver back. But you see, the surrender to Jesus is the surrender to the one who is above everyone else. Everyone else. I heard Tim just say this lovely phrase yesterday. I'm going to paraphrase you, Tim. Do we serve an almighty God or an almighty one? Almighty or almighty? Surrender to the Lord Jesus, who says, will you be a questioned Christian? Will you go and change this world for me, for my fame, for my glory? Secondly, the way we regard people. I'm a street evangelist, by the way. If you ever want a freaky, more frightening job title, I think I've got it. You know, street evangelist, because most people picture me being a little bit unkind to strangers who will be ignoring me as I preach at them with a very large Bible. But you know, I love the streets because that's where I meet people. And I love people. And the way that I regard people, you regard people, is key for us being a questioned Christian. You see, Peter says, set apart Christ Jesus as Lord in your heart, your core, everything. Everything. Always be prepared to give the reason for the hope. Do that with gentleness and respect. I worked with a friend, Carissa. She got so bored. It was a Sunday morning in Peterborough, where I serve as city centre chaplain. And once a month, we do stuff on a Sunday morning for people who wouldn't consider going to church. And on this occasion, we're giving out sunflower seeds in pots and getting people to put seeds in the pots. Now, Carissa was so bored by this activity. She's from a school in California called the School of Supernatural Ministry, or as her friends like to call it, Hogwarts. And she was like, Chris, can I just write some words of knowledge on these pot plants? I was like, yeah, that's great. And she started writing words of knowledge, but loads of them. I was like, you can't do that. We haven't met the people yet. What have you written? She goes, it's all right. God knows who we're going to meet. And sure enough, we met loads of people who were greatly encouraged, comforted through the words of knowledge that they read on the pot plants. And then we met a witch. And this witch was with all her friends, and she told us all about what she was into with great detail and how good it was. And then she said, so what are you doing? And I said, well, we're giving out these pot plants. She said, can I have one? And I said, yes, you may. Because I knew that Carissa would have written something like, turn from your wicked ways, woman, or something like that. So I didn't even look at the pot plant. I just went, Carissa, pass me a pot plant. She passed me a pot plant. I went, here you go. She went, grace. What does that mean? She passed it back to me. It's the undeserved gift of Jesus for you and for me. So, all right, I haven't heard that before. I said, well, I believe that Jesus was given for you, and he lived for you, and he gave his life for you because he loves you. She hadn't heard that before, by the way. I don't know what you thought when I said, I met a witch. The way we regard all kinds of people needs that gentleness, that respect, that love. So much in what we do as church in the name of Jesus isn't love. I meet too many rude evangelists. I really do. Who don't love people. And we need to be people who love and love and love. Thirdly, we need to be filled with hope. You see, people need what you've got. They really do. They need what you've got. And what you've got is hope. Already this morning, I've been blown away by those who are suffering this morning, but who are full of hope. So a little conversation I had right at the start was, well, you know, I'm not well, plenty, but praise Jesus. I thought, wow, who on earth could ever be at a place of pain and suffering, but still say, praise Jesus? I preached in a school hall. It was a small church, but there was a couple of visitors. And after the service, I was preaching about suffering. Delightful topic to preach on. But after the service, there was a couple from South Africa who were there in their 70s. And they were just visiting. They just decided to call in. I said, oh, can I pray for you? And as I prayed for them, I had some words of knowledge for them from God's heart for their heart. I said, you two are like the most amazing mum and dad. And I just see God bringing sons and daughters to you who have not been loved. After praying, the lady was crying. She said, excuse me, I'm just going to go. Thank you for praying. She went and had a cup of tea. And the man said, oh, you know, what you prayed for us is, it's happening. It's so true. Thank you for that. And he sat down and he said, you know what made your word just so good? You see, our three children. And then he just broke down. I said, yeah, your three children. He said, yeah, our three children, you see, were murdered. How could someone have such hope and still be at a place of praise when something so tragic has happened in their life? And if there's a message that you need to hear, if you're suffering this morning, is keep bashing on. Keep going. Don't lose hope. The hope that you have in the most awful circumstances will speak volumes to those who have none. There's some scripture that I wish wasn't here. I don't know if you come across scripture like that. You think, why is that there? I wish it wasn't. Romans 5 is one of those for me. The beginning of Romans 5. You see, Paul declares, rejoice in your sufferings. I don't want to do that. He says, well, you rejoice in your sufferings. Why? Because it produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Now where have we heard that word hope already? Always be prepared to give the reason for hope. There is suffering that some of you are going through that needs to stop. And this morning my prayer is that those who have had their belly full of suffering may see breakthrough this morning. There are some of us this morning that are suffering that need to keep going despite the heartache, to keep going. But for those of us who enough, we can't cope. We need to pray that this suffering may end in the name of Jesus. And for those of you who have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed some more, we're going to pray again. People need what we've got. I was looking after 30 young people in Peterborough. and I was preparing them to give out some donuts. Now, I don't know if you've ever mixed young people and donuts. It got a little bit messy. And I kept saying things like, can you please wipe the sugar off your face? They're not for you to eat. Donuts were rolling on the floor. No, don't put them back on the tray. And as I'm looking after these 30 young people, two guys walked into the old church building and made a beeline for me. And I thought, oh, great, just what I need. And they said, excuse me. I said, I'm really sorry, I'm busy. I said, we've got two questions. I said, well, I'm looking after these young people. I said, it won't take long. So I sent out the young people with their youth leaders to go and give out donuts. And I said, yeah, what are your two questions? It was a dad and a son. And they were visiting Peterborough on holiday, and they were Muslims. And they said, well, we've got two questions. The first one, I said, yes. The first one is, do you believe in demons? I wasn't expecting that question. I said, right, okay. The second question, do you believe in life after death? I wasn't expecting that question either, if I'm honest. I said, oh, right. I looked at this young lad. I said, are you frightened? He goes, yeah. I said, do you see stuff in your room that has frightened you? He says, yeah. I go to bed at night and I dream of death and I see stuff. And I wake up in the morning and I fear that my dad is going to die today. I said, oh, right. I've got some good news for you. He goes, oh, what's that? I said, well, I believe in someone who's able to say to demons, get lost, and they go. He goes, ah, oh, who's that? I said, it is the Lord Jesus. I went, oh, the Lord Jesus. Now, I believe in the prophets, he said. I didn't know the Lord Jesus could do that. And we opened up the scriptures and looked at some of the stories. I said, I've got some better news for you. He goes, what's that? I said, I believe that Jesus has conquered death. The Lord Jesus has conquered death. And we again opened up some scriptures. He said two things to me. He said, I've been searching for truth and today I found it. I wasn't ready for anyone searching for anything. Just want to be honest with you. And he said that God has sent me to you today. That was humbling. Because I was just worried about donuts and young people. I'd asked his dad, I said, can I pray for your son? He goes, yeah, please. I said, I'll just say a blessing over him, and I'll put my hand on his chest. He said, yeah, that's fine. I said, the most childlike prayer. And this young man said, excuse me, but what is that sweetness? Beautiful word, is it? What is that sweetness that I feel here? I said, oh, right, that is the Lord Jesus. And this guy, he literally took two steps back. The Lord Jesus, he's here. He's here with us. I said, yes, he's here. This guy was blown away by the promises of what we have, the hope, the one who's able to say to all fear, darkness, demons, go, and bring deliverance, and the one who has conquered death, and he experienced his beautiful presence and peace. You and I have got so much. So much. The living Lord Jesus, you know, he lives in you. You know that? Lives in you. And people need him. They need a Savior as we have received the Savior. I'm going to finish by reading a poem to you. It's called Questioned Christian. I want to be a question Christian, a provoke hope type of one, not a pain in the neck annoying or a sigh as I walk in the room, but a spark off questions follower, a tell me the answer walker. I long to be a questioned Christian, that others would ask me for the reasons, those who despair all around me, broken, bruised, battered by life's journey, may seek the one who oozes healing balm through the hope that dwells deep down, flowing from the core of my very being. I long to be a questioned Christian, geared up, prepared, not ashamed or to say or cover it up, but to reveal the untamable, unimaginable, despite the heart acheable. So I want to be a questioned Christian, a ready, steady go, on your marks, get set, run kind of one, filled with a new strength to simply tell the reason for the hope that I am.
In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And this week, may we enter this week as pilgrims and companions, committed to the way of Christ, faithful to the call of Christ, discerning the mind of Christ, offering the welcome of Christ, growing in the likeness of Christ, engaging in the mission of Christ, in the world that belongs to Christ. Let us close by saying together the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.